Hey everyone, it's Mike Kilner here, and welcome to the Indispensable Agent Podcast. This is the podcast where the indispensable get a dose of inspiration to win the game and outpace market changes. As usual, I'm joined today in the studio by my brother Pat.
Hey man, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've gotten through some of our technical difficulties this morning, and
hopefully.
And we are recording here on a beautiful snowy day. First day of March.
Kind of sloppy snow. It's kind of March snow.
Yeah, your kids were a little disappointed when they woke up and realized.
Utterly, yeah. This is not an impactful snow.
Well, you know what they need, those kids?
What do they need?
They need more of a growth mindset. That's what I would say.
Naturally.
Do you like that transition? How is that transition?
It's very smooth, Mike.
So, yeah, that actually is our topic for today. And I have some questions for you, Pat. On this particular topic, and it is, we're going to focus in on the theory of growth versus fixed mindset, really sort of championed by Carol Dweck, who's a professor at Stanford, and she wrote a book called Mindset.
Appropriately enough.
And it has some sort of subtitle, like The Psychology of Success. Something like that. You can look it up. You'll find it very quickly on Amazon.
Great book, by the way.
It's a great book. I think
not just sort of theory, or not just hypothesis, but actual theory, you know, with some really great research behind it. So
yeah, she's done a lot of studies. She has a lot of examples just from sort of out in the wild. She's got a lot of really good examples. Of people who have approached their work with a growth mindset. She even has a section about parenting in there. I think like a lot of these books, these business books or these sort of psychology of success books, they usually have one or two key elements that they're trying to pass on to you, and the rest is just sort of stories. And sometimes they can get a little repetitive. But if Bill Gates, the billionaire, recommends the book, you know, I think it's safe that, you know, you should give it a...
He's kind of a growth-oriented guy.
Yeah, a little bit. Got a little bit of a growth mindset. So we always bring this podcast when we talk about back to agents.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's who we're in business with is real estate agents. And I think that in this industry... You can see a lot of examples of folks and businesses who have a growth mindset versus people who have a fixed mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to throw out the question to you, just in general, what do you see as the differences between people, or maybe define it, sort of give us a definition of the contrast between those two mindsets? And then what are the general differences that you find?
Sure. Well, and Carol does an amazing job and spends the entire book on really defining this and fleshing it out. So if you want a much deeper sort of look at what growth versus fixed is, certainly her book is really the definition. And I'll take this to what it means for me and what I took away. I think her section on parenting is actually probably the most impactful for me. I look at a lot of business paradigms through the paradigm of being a dad and a father and a husband. So I think for me, the greatest sort of example of a growth versus fixed mindset is found in the way I treat my own kids. And it's really interesting, especially when they're young. You wouldn't imagine going to your kids and saying, you know, stop growing. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, athletically, anything like that. You wouldn't dream of it. In fact, that would be something that you'd say is almost punishable by, you know, if you saw that in one of your friends, you know, approaching their kid and saying, you know, stop your growth. Gosh darn it. We send them to school, we send them to camps. And so there's this idea that...
Well, and I think to play off of that, it's not... We don't we never do it sort of explicitly. No one says, does it explicitly, but there are plenty of scenarios where we are doing it and we don't even realize, right?
Like, totally.
You have sons who wrestle at a high level, very competitive level, right? And, you know, if they get off the mat and they've been beaten, right? And you would probably, I think there's a section in parenting part of mindset that sort of talks about this. There's multiple responses you can have to that, right?
Totally.
To their defeat.
Yeah. What does growth look like in that?
Exactly.
Scenario?
And I think even sort of some popular parenting, you know, like the reaction for a lot of us would be, you know, sort of pat them on the back and just say like, oh, you know, you'll get them next time.
Yeah.
And in that, you know, there's the implicit is that, well, it was, you just had a bad day, but you're just as talented as that person. Just whatever.
You had a bad day, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas instead of, you know, approaching it with, you know, a lot of love for the child, but saying like, you know, at the right moment, that person probably worked harder than you, right? What are the
Tell
things
the
that you think about that you think you could work on to improve, right? And so you're giving them this fuel that says, look, you can improve. I believe that you can improve, right?
Yeah.
But you're also being totally realistic with them that like you're not at that level yet.
Well, I think it's a question of, are you approaching, in this case, your kids, with a growth mindset? So what would a growth mindset do, given the circumstance you just threw out? And what would a fixed mindset do? Oftentimes a fixed mindset will say this, and I hear this on Matt's side constantly, you're just not doing what you should do, right? And you got to do better. What it sounds like to you as you're saying it, or to the parent, you know, who's saying it, is I'm just trying to improve you. Let me fix you, right? And I would say, you know, anytime you are trying to fix somebody by, quote, constructive criticism, without a whole lot of deep thought prior to how that's going to happen, you're typically approaching them as though they are sort of in a fixed state. You're actually imposing a fixed mindset on them.
Right.
Versus saying, you know what, it's probably the best thing for this person to allow them to, this kid, to allow them to think through this, think about what went wrong, how they could improve, you know, all of that. And then actually probably the best thing that I could do is to express some empathy towards them. And I'm not talking about, oh, gee, you know, you'll get them next time, sweetheart. It'll be better. Because that actually could be a lie to them as well.
Right.
Know, don't lie to your kids.
You don't know.
You know, if they were not at their best that day, don't lie to them. Tell them, hey, you're just as, you know, you're just as good a wrestler. That's actually kind of false. And wrestling is really clear. You either win or you lose.
Right.
So somebody got the better of you or not. So it's a really kind of an interesting thing. So, oh, don't worry, sweetheart. You'll get them next time, type of thing. Actually, no, that may not be true unless you're coaching them in the right way. But it could be true. And actually probably what they most need emotionally is to know, you know what? I love you a lot. And I'm so proud of how you went out there and fought. And just let that sink in. That actually allows the child to stay in a state of growth and of flourishing in a different way than if you go, hey, listen, I'm really disappointed in how you went out there. Now, you actually may be disappointed. You're really disappointment is, I'm disappointed in the scenario of my kid losing, and it hurts, always hurts to lose. And so you trying to fix them to them may signal, gee, Dad only loves me when I do well. Or dad, and or let's say they've won. You get off the mat and you go, I am just so proud of you, and it's great. And instead of saying, you know what, I love how you fight out there. It's great to see you fight out there. So your love needs to be unconditional in that circumstance. And we're going really deep pretty fast on this, but I think it's really important to really analyze. I only have so many words that I can spend here. How am I going to use those words to allow the person, the subject of my attention, to continue to grow at the highest level possible? And constructive criticism may be something that's necessary a day later, but is it the right thing at that point?
Right.
Is that constructive criticism better when they come to you and say, hey, I was thinking about this, Dad. What if I practice this way, right? You want it to come out of them. You want them to grow. Here's another thing. You can't cause other people to grow by simply willing it on them,
right,
or forcing them to do that. Right. So I'd say fixed mindsets from a leadership standpoint cause people to be sort of super command and control, very managerial, and very, you know, micromanaging, if you will.
Yeah.
A growth mindset is one that allows the environment around them to be one where other people have a lot of freedom and have a lot of ability to flourish and grow around them. So just from a leadership standpoint, that's where you want to be. Now, let's apply this to you personally. Are you personally typically in a fixed or growth mindset? And I think it comes out in the way we approach our kids and people we love. But are you approaching your day in a fixed or growth mindset? So we just did a time management or time mastery course on this, and time came up naturally, as it should in that course, a lot. You can approach your day in a fixed way. You're saying, listen, I only have so many hours of the day. It's really scarce and I don't have a lot of time for other people. And so I'm going to do these things and these priorities, and I block the day. And so you can manage your day really, really well. And it can look beautiful on a calendar. You even have flex time. And so you've managed your day. Does that mean that you've mastered your use of that time? No, not necessarily, right? Can be that you're setting up a mastery of that time, but a growth mindset will say, I have three major priorities today. Here's how I'm going to ensure that I can grow as a result of doing that type of work, right? The growth is not in just getting through the checklist. The growth is in doing the work well and with beauty and with diligence and with focus and with clarity and offering that to the people who you are a fiduciary to in as a real estate agent, for example, right? And doing that really, really well. So one example that came up was, okay, in a negotiation, are you in a fixed or growth mindset? A fixed mindset looks like another agent calls you and says, you know, or texts you and says, hey, here's what our next offer is. And you pick up the phone immediately and call them right away. Very fixed mindset. It's very linear. Okay, you know, they volleyed something over to me, I'm gonna volley something over to them. Versus a growth mindset may be, you know what, my job right now is to show up as an absolutely surgical negotiator. Let me take a step back, systematically go through how this negotiation is gonna be laid out. Bring my folks into this negotiation. Help them understand the process and help them grow through the process as well. Help the trust that I have with them grow in that process. And then go win the negotiation, because I've looked at this as a CEO would look at a strategy to win in business.
Right.
That's what you owe those folks. That's what you owe the transaction. And that's how a growth mindset is going to flourish, where a fixed mindset will, you'll get back to the other person really quickly. But is that your value proposition?
Right.
So
I would say, I think it's sort of, we went from children and then, you know, obviously children, you know, you can make the jump to leadership, right? Parenting and leadership share a lot of the same virtues, mm-hmm. right? And vices. And now we're bringing it back to the agents. And so I think it shows up there at the sort of deal making client relationship level.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say it probably shows up, this growth versus fixed mindset, much earlier than that, at a much more basic level in,
I would agree.
In the agent's approach to their profession overall.
Totally.
Right?
Totally, yeah.
And I think
you can't just be somebody different when you show up to your job. Yeah.
And if you connect it back to, you know, a lot of what Carol talks about in Mindset, the book, is studies done with students, right? And even and young students and college age students, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of parallels, you know, at sort of at any age, of what a fixed mindset student looks like and what a growth mindset student looks like.
Yep.
And I think, and when you get into real estate, you are a student of real estate, right? Whether you think you are or not, right? You're a student, sure, of the profession, of the industry, whether you,
and hopefully you stay that way
too. Approach it. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, you always are. You actually always are, but you could either be someone who is peeking at other people's grades, mm-hmm, right, to see if you're doing a little bit better than them, and just constantly trying to compare and you know, make sure that you're slightly above average.
Yep.
Or you can be someone who is in the game to learn, right? Who is a student who actually really wants to learn, who wants to improve, right?
Yeah,
who
has constant,
has a,
yeah,
growth, sort of
the
mindset,
the constant never an improvement. Yeah.
Concept. So I think that it shows up in, you know, agents are entrepreneurs, right? So it will show up in the way that they approach their clients and the way that they approach a deal, right? So the actual sort of practice of their profession, the practical part of their profession. I think it also shows up in their businesses, right? How, mm-hmm, they grow their businesses, because every agent is not only a student of real estate, is not just a sort of an entrepreneur with the name slapped on them. Like, they truly are in business essentially for themselves, right? Brokerages and coaching companies and vendors exist to help them, you know, grow,
mm-hmm,
or should be there.
Should be, yeah.
But the responsibility for growing the business is ultimately on lies on them, right?
Yep.
And so I know you have tons of examples, but sort of in general, how do you see the fixed versus growth mindset show up in agents as it pertains to their businesses?
Yeah, I mean, I think to distill it at a very basic level, I think agents stop growing when they, because of pride. It's like a very basic level. You grow a lot. Think about a brand new agent who doesn't know anything. They almost have no choice but to be really humble. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what I don't know. So I'm going to go ask. I'm going to go just do everything I possibly can. So, you know, you may not be a new agent. I was talking to a brand new agent yesterday. He's not even yet licensed. Great guy, tremendous track record outside of this industry. He's coming in, he's going to light the world on fire. He said to me, "Pat, why in the world should anybody trust me with my business? Right? Why would they trust me to sell their house? Or I wouldn't trust me, Pat." He said, "That's great humility, right?" Yeah. And I happen to know this person has been a consummate professional in everything he's touched prior. And he's approaching this with tremendous humility. And that was really endearing, right? And so he's actually coming into a team. I know his team members. I know the environment he's coming into. So I'm really excited for him, because I said, you're absolutely right. Nobody should trust you if this is a meritocracy. And you're going to be trusted, quote, trusted by people just enough to get yourself in the door. And it's going to feel like they're doing you a favor, which kind of stinks, right? Like that's a shot to our pride right there.
Right.
So, but eat some humble pie, take care of your family, and what you're going to be able to do, because you're humbly understanding that you don't know this craft, that you're not excellent at this craft yet, is that you're going to go find all the answers you need for these people. And I'm coaching him and told him, count on me as a resource. So yes, you alone can't do this. Now, he's going to do great. And he's, I told him, you know, 10, 20 deals in, you're going to be a different human being when it comes to this, because you're going to voraciously learn. And by the way, when you get to your 100th deal or your 300th deal, stay humble, because every time you go into somebody's house, they have given you the honor of being able to sit down and work with them. They're hiring you as the CEO, the CFO, the COO, the marketing director, so that they can launch this business of selling their house or launch this business of finding them a home. And that's a humble, that should humble us as agents constantly. What happens is agents at a certain point go, I've seen it all. I've been in business for 100 years and I've just seen everything. So So they walk in as though they've got the business, first of all, which is when they start losing. And they walk in believing that there's very little that, that they can learn. And I think not everybody. I know some great agents who've been doing this for 40 plus years who are still incredibly humble, constantly learning. And by the way, those people are really satisfied, happy, enjoying their careers at a very high level because they're in this growth pattern. But what, how boring is it to go, I've arrived, like, you know, professionally.
I think that is
a big thing that I see in agents' businesses is this lack of humility to understand that your job, actually your duty to the client is to believe that there's always something that you can learn and grow from and that you're going to bring them along this journey with you and do your absolute, you know, darndest.
And I think, as you were talking about agents, and this particular agent, you know, it does cement, this theory that humility is, almost conversely to our understanding of sort of the business world. But
sure.
Humility is at the core of successful businesses.
Yeah, we have this sort of command, this authoritative view of what leadership really looks like. And fundamentally, leaders, great leaders, are growth oriented. They know that they don't know everything, and they're humble. I was watching a really great clip from a movie about General Washington, you know, President Washington. And he gets criticized by the British commander as being completely outmatched and incapable as a leader. And he was getting his rear end handed to him at this point of the conflict. And he said, yes, you're right. I lack all of these things, but my men trust me. And so I'm going to show up and humbly lead them because they need me to lead. And that is, and he grew, he understood, Washington fundamentally understood that he wasn't enough and that the process of becoming enough was only going to happen by him taking on more responsibility. So I think if you really want to know what growth mindset does, it's actually this constant sort of belief that my duty to my clients, to my family, to everybody is actually to take on slightly more responsibility than I'm actually comfortable with.
Yeah.
If you did that every day, think of the growth that you would have.
Right.
Versus a fixed mindset, which is I can't take on more responsibility because if I do that, I'm not going to be able to help the people who have entrusted me. It actually sounds like a good fiduciary thing to
right.
say. It actually is something that stymies growth and actually does a disservice to the people in your charge.
Right.
So it's a really interesting paradox that I think you should be careful about sure where your mindset is. And that's why Carol wrote this book, I think.
Yeah. And I think it shows up another way that agents or business people will reflect this fixed mindset in the way that they speak is they will say, no one can do it as well as I do it.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Classic.
It's you know, I have this temptation all the time when I'm working as a consultant with people on their businesses. I get off the phone and I think, wow, no one can do that as well as I do that. Right.
Yeah.
And there's probably 500 people in the United States who could do that better than me, right? Like they could just walk in and crush it better than I. So, you know, that is a very common refrain that we hear is, and it's an excuse for not building a business, right? So
yeah,
we constantly kind of come back to this theme, right? And it's what keeps agents sort of siloed, what keeps agents sort of cloistered and on their own, right, mm-hmm. for a very long time. Mm-hmm.
Or what keeps any small business small.
Yeah, what keeps any small business small. And it's this mindset of, well, I have a knack for this. I have experience with this, right, as the business owner. And I just do not see how other people would possibly be able to do it as well as I do. And my clients love me.
Yeah.
My clients want me. Right. Yeah. So I think this is a good way to wrap up this conversation about mindset. Someone says that to you, what are the thoughts going through your mind? And then how would you coach someone out of that mindset?
Man, you just, that's a huge one.
We'll be here for 45 minutes.
Yeah. Wrapping it up. No, I'll do my best to try to keep this focused to that question. So yeah, when you hear, look, and we all do it, we all, in some ways it's sort of an affirmation. Like, I really crushed that. I did a great job. Fine. That's good to say. The idea that you wouldn't be able to, that nobody else would be able to do that is precisely what's going to keep you small. And actually, like, if you think about what really matters, right? And I've said this before, you know, perhaps on other podcasts. 75 years from now, you're no longer here. Your grandkids are talking about your legacy. They're more likely to talk about the legacy of the people that you impacted versus the year that you had when you did X number of deals.
Right.
So if business is a vehicle about impacting people and impacting lives, then you actually owe it to yourself and to many, many others, potentially hundreds of thousands of people, to show up and get out of a fixed mindset. And I think when you do that habitually, right, it's really a habituation of growth, right? And we say, well, we're naturally growing. Not all the time. You know, you're either growing or dying sort of idea is very, very true. And almost too short of a phrase to be as impactful as it should be. But you're really habituating growth. I would say, I guess a couple of things really come to mind. Imagine yourself tomorrow in a wheelchair. You're unable to get out, show houses, go on appointments, but your business has to keep growing. You have mouths to feed, right? If you don't have mouths, imagine that you have, let's say you have 100 mouths to feed and your business is providing for them right now. And it's all about you and you exercising your talent in a very, you know, hands-on way. All of a sudden you're in a wheelchair, but all those mouths still have to be fed. How would that change your mindset about other people, about allowing other people the opportunity to be part of your world? That's a big shift in terms of growth, right? And this kind of happened to me. You know, I with our son who's in the hospital, all of a sudden I had to think about other people and their talent in a totally different way. So I'd say, if you believe that you are the only talent that could possibly do what you're doing, you're destined to relative mediocrity, right? It doesn't mean that your broker won't pat you on the back and tell you you had a good year, or that you won't win individual awards or anything like that. But ask yourself the 75, you know, your question: what will your legacy be? Who did you allow to be part of your growth? Right? And God willing, you're not going to be in a wheelchair tomorrow, but if you are, this may help. Because what that mindset did for me was allowed me to focus on growing other people and forced me to believe that actually, not only could they do things as well as I could, but they could actually do things better than I could, and to go and doggedly find those people. I think one of the things that I hear a lot in business owners is talent versus non-talent. You hear it all the time. Oh, that person's talent. That person is non-talent. And English is an interesting language. We use the word is. And when you say that, you're actually defining the person, their essence. You're defining them. This person is this way.
Right.
You are, Mike, you are lazy. That means you are implicitly lazy versus Mike, you're kind of acting lazy right now.
Yeah, at this moment.
At this moment, right? Lazy. And there's, you know, in other languages, they have different verbs to say that. What you're saying when you say this person is talent or this person is not talent is actually a fixed mindset way of saying way of saying that versus right. this person showing up as talent right now.
Right.
When that person does that, they show up as big time talent. And so to understand that, oh, your job as a leader is to allow people the vehicles to exercise the talent that they have. And your job is to find people who are better, who have better natural talents and who you can give a vehicle to allow them to grow faster than they could without you. That's your job. The more people you can do that for, the better off you're going to be. So I think when it comes to business, I see it a lot when it comes to talent and people and hiring and, oh, we're going to fire this person because they're not talent. Did you give them the right vehicle? Right? Did you do everything you could to honor your duty to them? And it could be that you have, and you've got to look at that and you got to look at the person and say, this is just not working out. That's fine too. I'm not saying don't lay off people, you know, don't show them the door if they're not the right fit, but understand you got to uphold your side of it.
Right.
And this is not a throw people on the wall, see if they stick sort of thing. That type of hiring, that type of dealing with people is a very fixed way of thinking about it.
Well, it's actually interesting. If I can interject for a second, is it's the attitude of many brokers.
Yeah,
even,
I mean,
even though it's,
you know,
not an employee-employer, relationship, is that there's a lot of people who are like, well, just.
I don't know if it's a lot of brokers. I here's what I do know. I've told you this. I had a conversation with a brokerage, a couple of years ago, and they said, you know, Pat, what are you going to teach your folks? And I laid out everything that we teach at Tower Hill and through the indispensable agent and all this stuff before we even named indispensable agent. It was a bunch of ideas of how to invest deeply into the businesses of agents, because that's what I believe a brokerage is about. And I laid it out for this person. He has a much, much larger brokerage. It's been around for many, many more years. And he said, you know, Pat, if you teach people that, they'll leave you. And I thought, gosh, if I don't teach people this, they should leave me, because this is the only value we have. So I think a scarcity mindset is sort of another way to talk about a fixed mindset. It's the scarcity of believing that if I give people the tools and the vehicles to grow, that they may leave me. If I don't control them, if I don't manage them, like
they'll outgrow me. They'll run past.
And so my job is to actually keep people in a fixed place. You'd never do that to your kids.
No.
And in a million years, you wouldn't want your kids to go work for that company. So I do think it is, and amazingly, you know, this is what oftentimes happens. Big businesses grow a lot because you have somebody at the top who's leading it from the beginning. Oftentimes a founder has a big vision for growth. And oftentimes a failure, you know, you hear about this in Jim Collins' book, you know, the failure of when that leader steps down, if that leader hasn't brought around other people who have the same growth mindset, although Jim Collins doesn't talk specifically about growth mindset, but if they haven't surrounded themselves with those people, then the company stops growing. Companies get stymied because people feel it. People know if they're being invested into. So I would say that's the Achilles heel, is to believe that your job, whether you're a brokerage, whether you're running a team, whether you're an individual agent thinking about growing a team, you know, is first to believe that you are capable of much more than you realize. And, you know, initially. And your job immediately as a fiduciary to your clients day in, day out is to constantly grow and learn. And frankly, when your clients believe that you are a humble leader of them in this transaction, they will refer you a lot of business. And if you build that as the basis, the foundation of your business, you teach other people how to do that, you're going to be able to impact a lot of people. And it sounds really simple, but right now the tendency is, well, you're just a door opener. You're just a commodity. And so we got to win that back. And the only way to win that back is for people to trust us deeply and to believe that as the leader of this little, you know, enterprise of selling their house or buying a new house, that we are the humble leader that's going to grow along in the process. And when you go to people after you've made a mistake, you know, or something's, you know, kind of gone a little bit haywire in a transaction, you humbly approach them and say, listen, I've really grown from this. And here's how we're going to move forward. Right. Versus, you know, that wasn't my fault. Fixed mindset.
Yeah. That wasn't my fault.
You know, sort of deflecting. Oh, the lender could have done this better. No, you're just own it. You know, sort of the Jocko Willink extreme ownership side of things is really, you know, important to that. You own it entirely, be humble, and you'll continue to grow. And the sky's the limit.
Thanks, Pat. If I could just piggyback on something you said,
of course,
to wrap it up here, I do think that the other way that the growth mindset shows up, and the other way that you can identify people who have a tendency towards one or the other, is that growth mindset agents are constantly blaming the marketplace, the market conditions for.
You mean fixed mindset agents?
Sorry, fixed mindset agents for their growth or for their lack of growth, right? Yeah. And a growth mindset agent, right, no matter the market condition, is always, when something goes wrong, they always look to themselves first, right? They're always working on their own businesses.
Yeah,
right?
Or they're looking for opportunity. They go, hey, stuff's hitting the fan. Other people are complaining and whining. Right. That's an indicator for me that there's opportunity for growth.
There's a lot of fixed mindset agents complaining at the sales meeting about, you know, the market being so tough.
Yeah, people are getting taken to the mat, you know, to go to the wrestling, you know, analogy you brought up. Oh my gosh, there are people getting pinned. There's an amazing opportunity for me to gain market share, to serve my clients and be differentiated in the marketplace. If I grow, and I think the fixed mindset is, I don't have that yet. Okay, we'll go get it. And you gotta be the talent that you want to recruit eventually and bring into your world as well. So awesome stuff. We could take this in all sorts of directions. We could talk about lead generation, you know, and fixed growth mindset. But I think hopefully this is helpful for folks.
Yeah. Thank you, Carol Dweck, for writing a good
book. Thank you, Carol.
And once again, it's Mindset, the New Psychology of Success. I almost had it right at the beginning. It's actually the New Psychology of Success. Get it for $1.99 used on barnesandnoble.com. So you have no excuse.
Zero.
Not to pick up this book. Unless your excuse is, I don't read physical books anymore.
And then you can listen to it. It's actually really good on Audible as well.
Exactly. All right. We will leave it there for this week's podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys.